sing it together again. Let's stand as we sing, Come All You Faithful. Come to adore you tonight, and to praise you for all that you've done, and so much that you've done in our lives and in our midst. We pray, God, that as we worship you through sharing, through hearing, that we'd be prayerful as we listen and engage our hearts to give you praise. But thank you, God, for saving not only us who've been walking with you for maybe dozens of years, but those that you're saving and bringing to yourself, even this very moment, as you're drawing them to the Messiah through the gospel. And we praise you for that. God, we ask that you'd be honored tonight, that we'd be built up in love, we'd be motivated and spurred on to minister faithfully, to serve and to care for one another, and that you would help us to be faithful in that. Bless our time now, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. It's warm. We didn't want you to be cold, but now I don't want you to take a nap. So ditch a coat, shed a layer if you need to. We are going to move right now into a time of hearing a couple of testimonies of a couple of newer folks to our church, Craig and Tatiana Atencio. And so I will invite Tatiana first to join me up here. Please give her your attention. Craig and Tatiana have been in the membership process along with a number of other folks and have asked them to share briefly how God has worked in their lives, brought them to himself, and to give you a little glimpse into their lives so that you can get to know them as they're coming along in our church.
Good evening, church. I'm going to read my testimony. I grew up in a Christian family and knew Christ a new Christian belief. When I was a child, I attended Sunday school every Sunday and church services throughout the week. As I got older, I read Bible a lot. One day, I was in church listening to a sermon about the 10 bridesmaids, and it really touched me. I didn't want to wait to commit my life to Christ and be left behind. Even though I live a moral life, I knew I was a sinner and needed God's forgiveness, and became convicted I wanted to follow Jesus for the rest of my life, and I didn't want to wait any longer to be baptized. After I was baptized, I became committed to God and the church. I focused on serving others in the church. With other young adults, I visited older Christians who couldn't leave their homes or was in the hospital. We sang songs, read the Bible, and prayed with them. Now I'm a Christian wife and a mother. My goal is to grow as a Christian and to be a good example for my children and others. My ultimate goal now is for my children to love God and for me to keep growing in Christ.
Oh, thank you, Tatiana. All right, Anna Layton's there to hang out with the kiddos. Thanks, Anna. Great. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, thank you. First, let me just start off with a slight prologue and just say that we probably should have done this a long time ago. We've been here for approximately three and a half years now. And we've, you know, loved this church and really loved being here. So I want to start with that. But the question was, I've been asked to address is, what was my life like before I knew Christ? How was I brought to Christ? And then how has my life changed? So before I knew Christ, I grew up in a non-Christian family, pretty moral family in Citrus Heights. My dad still lives in the house where I grew up. But I would characterize my life before I knew Jesus as pretty much self-centered, self-absorbed, and empty and without meaning. That's how I characterize it. I was sort of a bookish person. I played sports in high school, baseball and basketball. I had AP calculus and English, but it was very empty and not very filled with anything that would give me some meaning in my life. So I went down to Pepperdine University for the small classes and the good reputation that they had, not because it was a Christian school. And I started to go there, and during my sophomore year, I made friends with a young man in my math class, a probability class I was taking that semester. And we got to know each other. He invited me to his Bible study. I went to that, started to become engaged with that. A different stand also comes in from the side, because at Pepperdine you have to take Bible classes there. And so I was taking New Testament at the time. So what you have to do for that is you have to read the Bible and the Gospels. And so I started to read those too. And then slowly I went to my friend's Bible study, got more involved there. It sort of moved my heart. And then I engaged with the Bible and the Gospels. And to me, when I read them on Saturdays and Sundays and I was studying, Jesus just jumped out at me. And it was almost like he was alive there before me as I was reading them. And so God was working on my heart through this period. And then finally I went to a winter retreat. I remember this really clearly, actually. And every winter they have a retreat for the students. And I went to that. And I have to say it was probably the most empty time I had. I remember being in the worship service. And, you know, they're singing, I stand in awe of you. Everybody knows a song from college. And I remember just feeling totally empty as the other students were, you know, lifting their hands up in praise. And so I went for a walk. I left the room, actually. And I left, and I took a walk and sat down on my little bench. And I think God was working on breaking me down at that point, mainly because I sat down and, you know, was talking to God and thinking about Him. And then He just showed me my life without Him, that it was completely meaningless. I was filled with sin and dirty, and there was nothing there. My parents would pass away. Everything I knew would be gone, and I would have nothing in my life. And so He was breaking me down through this whole process, and that sort of culminated there. And then I went to study a little more, And then finally, a few months later, I was baptized. I became a Christian, committed my life to Jesus Christ. After that, I switched schools. I went to Boston to finish a biomedical engineering degree out there. I got involved in the church I was going to. I joined InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I even went on an evangelism trip down to Daytona Beach. It's kind of odd to walk down the beach and say, "Hey, can I disturb your suntan? Do you have any thoughts about Jesus Christ?" You know, but I did do that. You walk up and down the beach for a weekend. So I finished that up there at Boston. Then I came out to the East Bay for graduate school at Berkeley, and I joined a church, Wanna Creek Church of Christ. I got heavily involved there. I served in the soup kitchens, picking up older folks to bring them to church. Went on youth mission trips, all these different things, taught apologetics classes, all these different things. So God was really shaping my life and turning me around, you know, 180 from where I started, from having no meaning and being completely empty to having something that was just rapturous in my life and that filled me and gave me what I needed. So now I'm here, and I really love being here, and I have a little newer mission field. My wife and I, we were married in 2014. We have three kids, and they're sort of my local mission field now. They keep me busy. I don't have all the time I had when I was single to do all these different things that I was involved with, but my main goal in life and my deepest dream is to have them love Jesus and to know Him as their friend, their Savior, the true meaning in their life, and to just embrace Him. So that's what I'm hoping for my family, for all of us here, actually. But this is sort of how God has worked in me, and He continues to work in my life. And I'm grateful for Him, so praise God for that. So thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you both for sharing, and we're grateful to be having gotten to know you these last couple of years and a little bit more now. Let's continue to pray for them and others as well. We'll share a little bit more about those who are in membership process right now. One of the things that we want to highlight tonight is something we've been talking about the last year or so, that we want to see the Lord grow us in care for one another, which is exactly what the work of ministry really is. It is caring for one another in spiritual ways, connection, building and growing godly friendships and relationships, whether that's through young adult group ministry or children's or our small groups or our corporate worship on Sundays. But connected to that is community, that we're growing as God's people together in these things. And so what we're going to do now for a little bit here is to just highlight some ways that God has been growing us in those ways throughout some of our different areas of ministry. And so just to remind you that what we want to accomplish in sharing some of these ministry updates tonight is we want to praise God for what he's done in the past in this year of ministry through you all, through the saints of our church. And then also to share what are some plans, some things that we're trusting God for in the future going forward, and then to pray for those things. And so a number of our ministry leaders and servants have shared some requests and some praises that and some plans that they want to share with you. And then we'll publish those next week or the next couple of weeks in kind of a review, a recap of this night. But I just want to share a few of those. And then in a little bit, we'll have a bit of a kind of a leadership update from some of our deacons and elders and things that we've been working on, as well as some praises and updates from some of the giving from this last year and finances. And then we'll also have our time to vote to affirm and reaffirm deacons and elders in our midst. And so let me just kind of close this testimony time with a word of prayer, and then we'll move into some of these ministry updates. Father, thank you for Craig and Tatiana. Thank you for their family. God, we're grateful for how you and your sovereignty drew them to yourself. Lord, we would have never chosen you, and yet you sovereignly and graciously plucked us out of our sin. And you opened our eyes to see that Christ is precious, and we are humbled by that, O Lord. So we pray for the Atencios, that you would grow them in their love for Christ, their knowledge of your word, but Lord, that we would be good friends and church family members to them, that we would love them and care for them, that we would help them along as they help us as we grow together in Christ. And so we pray for them and ask that you bless them in that, Lord. We thank you and praise you for them and for what you're doing in their lives. In Christ's name, amen. Well, just a brief word on from some of our women's and men's ministries. The women's ministries, they are all over the place, from Bible studies to the Sunday morning Women Helping Women class that has been full and vibrant as Maureen and John Rucker facilitate and lead that class. There's a number of ladies who've been teaching. There's an exciting teaching schedule actually coming up, I think, through the spring even. So that's an exciting ministry that's happening throughout women's ministries. But here's one of the praises and kind of prayer requests from the women's ministries, that they're trusting God to use the series in 1 Corinthians 13 to help draw our church body closer together, which is a great prayer request and a great praise, especially for those who are lonely and discouraged, and for those of you ladies who are connected to the women's ministries, which really is all of you, but you know that's kind of their heartbeat, is to help connect believers, families, ladies into the life of the church. And so what a great reminder that's really what we want our 1 Corinthians series that Phil has been working through. We want to grow in those things and see the Lord do that. One of the plans that they have, so we're going to be praying for this, is that they're hoping that we can have more times of church fellowship in the coming year, times like this. So potlucks, meals, where we're together sharing and praising the Lord and spending time as a large group together. So the women's ministries really help facilitate a lot of those kinds of events. And again, not just so that we can sit around and play bingo and, you know, do silly, goofy things, but really to pray together, to minister to one another. And so, although bingo would be fun, Donna, take note of that. That might be, no. Dave said he wasn't going to tell a joke tonight, so I have to tell the jokes. So, sorry, Dave. So that's some of our women's ministries. There's a ton going on there, but praise God for the women in our church who are serving so faithfully. On a men's ministry side of things, we've had several breakfasts this last year. Right the day before the world changed in 2020, March 15th, with COVID and all that, we had a men's breakfast, and then we're like, oh no, are we all gonna, you know, what's gonna happen Sunday? Well, thankfully everyone, no one got sick, I don't think, from that event, so we're praising God for that. But we've had Matt Hanna share at one of those breakfasts to challenge us in evangelism and outreach. We had one of our breakfasts where five or six men from our church shared how God had worked throughout 2020 to knit them together and help them spur each other on to love and good deeds throughout the year. And then this last month, we had John Rucker come and talk about biblical reconciliation and forgiveness in our relationships. So, ladies, you can ask your husbands how that's going. Hopefully they took notes during that. But it's been a sweet year of our men's studies meeting regularly. Bob Johnson, Don Myers, Robin Haller, Sean Downey. Those are some of the men facilitating some of those men's groups. So we're praising God for a lot of sweet things that God is doing through our men's ministries as well. We want to see those grow, so we'll continue to pray for that. Moving to some of our children's ministry and youth ministries and our young adult ministry. Those are all kind of linked together. Our children's ministry, praise from Lisa Peppers. Their classes are growing. Remember, we took a break. We didn't have children's classes on Sunday mornings for a while. It's kind of bizarre to think back on, isn't it? Just some of the strange things of 2020. But the children's classes are full, and that's exciting. She says we have a very busy nursery and two other classrooms full of children learning about God's love and the gospel. And so we're praising God for our children's Sunday school teachers and for our nursery helpers. They've been teaching faithfully, pouring into the kids. And that is not a labor that is in vain. That is planting seeds and watering gospel seeds for the glory of God. So we're grateful for that. Lots of people donated toys to the classes that the kids have been enjoying, so they're praising God for that. A plan, a hope for this coming year. There's need for a few more regular helpers, once every 5 weeks in the nursery. Needs for toddlers and children's church. And then there's also a need for people who would like to be on the substitute list that they can call when someone can't serve if they're sick or something like that. So there are some opportunities to serve within children's ministry. If you're a new member to our church and you've not plugged in somewhere, that's a great place to get involved, to start getting involved even with children and investing in them. So you can talk to Lisa Peppers or myself, and we'd love to help you get connected there. Adventure Club. This has been an exciting year with Adventure Club. There, if you've not been here on a Thursday night, you should just drop in. There's kids everywhere. There's leaders everywhere. And it is a thrilling night. There's junior high ministry happening as well. I'll share a little bit about that. Jason Hill and Graham Grant have kind of been masterminding this whole thing on Thursday nights with Adventure Club this last year. And so as far as praises, one of the huge praises is that it is a gospel-centered ministry. It is a ministry that is not just seeking to entertain kids and teach them how to do fun games, though they do a lot of fun games and fun activities, but it's to impart the gospel to them. But not only to kids, but to families. And so there's a number of unbelieving families, grandparents who drop kids off, who bring their kids, children who don't know the Lord. And so one of the praises is just for constant contact with unbelieving families from the community. And so that is a huge gospel opportunity. One story from Jason Hill, he said, I've got some kids in our scouts group who have never been to church before, who were invited by other friends or who have parents that saw our banners from the freeway. The banners work. They work, Graham. And they were invited by friends. They saw the banners, yeah, from the freeway, or heard from others in the body about this great ministry for their kids. And so we're just grateful for how word spreads throughout the community that there's something for God, for children at our church, which is, as you all know who've been here, that's such a legacy of our church, of ministry to children. So lots of praises there. Some hopes and plans, just trusting God that He will bring even more kids to hear the gospel, to continue to raise up and equip younger leaders. We have a ton of young people serving on Thursday nights, which is so exciting. And again, that's part of our legacy here, is that our midweek children's ministry is engaging our high school students in particular to serve. So that's just such a great opportunity. One of the references that the guys shared that makes them think of the passage from Galatians. They're wanting and praying for opportunities to just continue to encourage leaders. It says, let us not become discouraged or grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not become weary. That's a great word of encouragement for all of us serving, that we wouldn't grow weary in the work that God's given us to do. So we're praising God for that. Next couple, junior high school, and young adult, real quickly. Praises for junior high, junior disciple. Chris Dwyer reminded the kids this week, why do we call our ministry disciple, junior high disciple or disciple ministries? It's because as followers of Christ, we're not only following Him initially in salvation, but we're going to continue to grow in our love and our knowledge of Christ as we help each other follow Christ. So there's a sense of accountability and mutual care for one another that we even want to instill in them in junior high and high school, which is what Jason and Kiana have been laboring for in the young adult ministry. And so just a praise for junior high ministry, positive participation of the junior hires during the teaching times and discussion times. There's been a bunch of new faces, new families and faces. I think the smiley face in there, Chris, was because they're not wearing masks or something. Is that why, Chris? Maybe. Yeah, we see their faces. That's right. Okay. So we're grateful for lots of new faces, new families, and then we're just praying for continued growth and fellowship and discipleship between the students. That's our desire. And then I think just some ongoing praises and plans for the high school ministry, that they're encouraged, that their students are developing relationships between leaders and the students, and they're praying for that ongoing in that mentality of disciple-making, discipleship. And then ongoing direction for teaching, lesson plans and all that for 2021 and 22. And then for students, for boldness and courage for the students to share the gospel with their peers in the world, which is just a huge prayer request, because it is a increasingly hostile world for Christians. And so that we don't want to shy away from that, but actually learn and be equipped for how to engage them with that. So, Kevin, would you just come, brother, and pray for one last. I'll include our young adult group here, and then Kevin, if you'd come and pray for those praises for 5 faithful years of young adult group ministry. Jason and Kiana the Greats started this ministry 5 years ago with the desire to minister to our young adults. And just thinking about the dozens and dozens and dozens of 20-somethings who've been through this ministry, have launched out into the world and to work and to other churches, some in other states that have been impacted by the faithfulness of the Graves and others in this ministry. And so we're praising God for that. Pray for a smooth transition as the Graves shift gears with some other ministry involvements and family life opportunities, and as the Howlers kind of slide into that role as the hosts and helping facilitate that ministry. And so we're praising God for the Graves and for the Howlers' involvement there, but pray for that time of transition. So Kevin, would you come and pray for those praises and prayer requests? That'd be great. Thanks, Kevin.
Let's pray. Lord, we're just thankful for the ministry that you've given us, and yeah, like the name of disciple comes from is Matthew 28:18, and it's to go and make disciples, and that's not just a one-time thing, but an everyday thing that we need to continually grow. But we can be comforted in, and what you said before that is that all authority has been given to you in heaven and on earth. So we can go in boldness with that, knowing that you're there with us. You're in control. You're in charge. And you will accomplish your plan, and your church will be built. And we can be encouraged by that even when things are challenging. Even when things are going good, we can give you the praise for that. And then when times are tough, we can go on our knees in prayer to you and trust you in those things. And pray that also, just as leaders in youth ministry, to be more praying men and praying women, just like you were in your ministry. And you left us an excellent example. And I just thank you for the ministries that the Graves have been doing for the young adult group, and just being able to talk to young adults and hear the blessing and the benefits of being a part of that, and knowing that there is fruit there and that they've sown years of toil and work in the soil, and being able to see that fruit come to full fruition as well in many of these people's lives. And what an encouragement that is. And I just pray that at least with the disciple ministries and young adults, it just wouldn't stop there, but that they would grow into becoming excellent church men and church women and make an impact in your church and an impact in this world that's lost and dying. This I pray in your son's name. Amen.
And then just a quick note on your table, you may or may not have what is called a deacon or elder recommendation for consideration form. That's a great title. On one side is the qualifications of deacons and elders. On the other side is a place where you can actually recommend for consideration a possible deacon or an elder nominee. And so if you have people that are on your heart, as you look around the body and you see the men that are helping facilitate ministry and helping the elders, the shepherds, care for the church, we want you to identify those, help identify those men for us, and for us to prayerfully consider them. So at any time tonight, you can take a moment and fill that out if you have a recommendation there. All right. There are some new ministries that we want to highlight briefly. And one of them is the Young Marrieds group. Where are the Hills at? Can you raise your hands? Hills, raise your hands there. Do y'all know the Hills? Nikki. Nikki's not raising her hand. She's okay. But Nathan is for Nikki. Nikki and Jason Hill, they had a heart for young married people. And so they asked if they could help kind of start a ministry to the young adults. So just want to share a few praises that they shared and some plans that they're hoping for. Praises that God has done so far, bringing in a bunch of recently married and young engaged couples to hear about how the gospel and how God's word transforms marriages. They're going through a book called When Sinners Say I Do, When Sinners Say I Do by Dave Harvey, and a discussion guide that goes along with that. Actually, my wife Laura and I have read that a couple times this last year. We needed help. super encouraging. Went through it with another couple, actually a couple couples, and that was so encouraging. And so we were excited to hear that they were going to be going through that. And so there's been, you guys just had an event last week. How many couples were there, Jason? Roughly. Oh, yeah, Corey. Yeah. Oh, it was an ugly sweater contest. That's right. Yeah. I think the Freemans actually won that one. So. No. Oh, Caleb and Ella won. Hey, nicely done. Very good. Did they get a prize? Gluten-free Oreos. Everyone's favorite. Oh, yeah. So now everyone's going to want to be a part of that group because of the Oreos. But so far, a great start to the ministry. And I think that's one of the exciting things is just when there's a burden for caring for people in the body, and those ministries just kind of happen and we see God grow them, and we're excited for that. So we're just praising God for the start of that ministry to reach into young married's lives to help them in those early years and early stages of marriage. And so praise God for that. Some of their plans, Nikki and Jason are trusting the Lord that in that the good work that He has started, this is from Philippians 1:6, that He will be faithful to complete in us as individuals and in our marriages. So that's something they want to help instill in them, is that marriage is a work in progress. And so they're also just praying for the opportunity to become better acquainted with and to get closer with those young couples, to minister to them. Really, as you guys had people in early in your marriage ministering to you. So if you'd like to hear more about that, or maybe there's ways that they could be involved, can they talk to you guys, Jason and Nikki? Absolutely. So that's super exciting, and we're grateful for how God is using that ministry. So that's the Young Marrieds group. Next is what is called our heart-to-heart ministry. So Phil and Liz is in the house somewhere. If you would like to come, join up here on the stage and just kind of give some updates and any praises or prayer requests that are related there. So thanks, Phil.
And just as Liz comes up, just want to share an encouragement to you guys. If you feel the Lord putting a certain type of ministry on your heart, or maybe it's just you'd like to open up your home next year, or open up your lives in some way to serve, or God's given you some gifts that you're looking for a way to serve, we had that conversation a number of years ago with the Greggs, and it's been such a blessing to serve with them, and now with the Howlers and the Hills, actually early this year, earlier this year, kind of had that conversation of what the Lord was putting on their heart. They wanted to open up their home to minister to young adults. We would love to talk with, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a leader or someone, maybe it's just you have some ways the Lord's blessed you, or you just like to open up your life or your home in some way. We'd love to have those conversations with you. And one of those that I've been having conversations with is Liz Pino. And so I'm going to actually ask for her to share. You guys have heard about this ministry, I think, at our last quarterly meeting. But I asked Liz if she could share a little update and then a specific opportunity for prayer or even for volunteers.
I don't do well with microphones. So we're actually gearing up to start the Heart to Heart Moms Ministry in January. And we're taking a leap of faith as far as making it happen without enough workers, childcare workers. So we definitely need volunteers to come and help, both like in the nursery, basically holding babies, playing with babies, then we need preschool and homeschool age classes. Then we'll need at least two helpers each time, depending on how many moms participate, how many kids we have. So it would be really nice if we had a pool of workers, volunteers that can just volunteer. Say I'm available once a month, and it's only 2.5 hours. Or if you want to say, well, I don't want to commit to a certain day, but I'm willing to come if I'm available on a day that you're short and need extra help. So there's different ways that you can support the ministry, and it would be really nice to the moms if they can actually enjoy sitting down at the table and fellowshipping and listening to the special speakers that we'll bring on without having to deal with a disruptive, child in their arms or just having to actually volunteer to help care for the kids, which is what we're looking at this point is the mentor moms and the moms themselves having to alternate every time we meet, pulling one of us for each class to fill in the gap that we'll have. So we're praying that God will provide. We're going ahead and plan. This week, the mentor moms and I are going to be meeting to plan the classes for each session that we meet for the semester. But we are taking, like I said, a leap of faith because we don't have the workers that we need at this point. So we're praying that God will provide, that He'll touch the hearts of those that are available at least one time a month or randomly whenever we need extra help. So pray with me and think about it. And if you do have time, please consider helping with this ministry. It's a great ministry for moms. It's God-centered, and it's basically equipping them to be a godly woman, a godly wife, a godly mom, and cope with the trials of being a young mom, a new mom, or even one that has had other kids that is now with all the different stages, that they're dealing with. Yes, we will be meeting two times a month, which is the first and the third Wednesday of the month, from 9 to 11:30. So it's not a huge commitment at all. And there's different ways that you can serve. Maybe even if someone loves to do crafts, you can say, "Hey, I'll jump in and prepare crafts for the kids for the different age groups." Or someone that just loves babies and wants to volunteer to come and hold babies. Someone that loves to work with school-age kids that wants to just come and supervise in the homeschool class and just answer any questions they might have or just make sure that they stay busy.
That's great. So I'm going to pray for that ministry now, but it could very well be some of you in this room know that you do have some Wednesday mornings that you have some availability. We have a real opportunity, as my sister shared. They've got a core team to minister to the moms, but to minister, to take care of the little ones so the moms can be ministered to. We're talking nursery and toddler age. If you've got one or two Wednesdays available, please talk to Liz. Or if there's someone not here that you think she should ask, maybe she hasn't been able to ask them yet, but we need your support as well as your prayers. So let me pray for that now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your heart for mothers of little ones, even as we read of the Lord and His greatness in Isaiah 40, how He gently cares for those who are with young. And Lord, we are even reminded this time of year of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and just a special place that mothers have had in your redemptive plan. And Lord, I thank you for the heart of Liz and the ladies serving with her, and Diane and Tiana and Christine and other ladies who are going to help when they can. But I pray, Lord, for the other support ladies, whether it's those in an older stage of life without little ones, or even perhaps some teenage girls who can come alongside for a couple hours, 2.5 hours, 1 or 2 days a month. Lord, I want to pray that this week you would be providing specifically some of those workers so they can move forward in an effective way with their plans. And so, Lord, I pray you put on the hearts of those you would want to serve. We know that we're called to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers And Lord, we pray that you would put it on their hearts. And we thank you for Liz. We pray your blessing upon this ministry as they keep planning and praying. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
The soup master himself has a bit of a super senior Sunday ministry update, so I'm going to ask Cliff to come on up.
Yeah.
Come on up, soup master.
I will do that, and I will make it quick. My oversight, I didn't put this on the agenda. But we talk every month, of course, about super senior Sunday, and that is primarily the extent of our senior ministry. And so it plays a very large role in what we do here in the church. And many of us are actually here this evening. So I just wanted a quick update, because I know you don't all come down and see us. You're welcome to pop on in once in a while. Don't eat the soup. That's for our seniors and me. But anyway, we meet every Sunday, and or third Sunday of every month. And we have anywhere on the average between 35 and 42 seniors here. And their families as well, because you'll hear us talk about 70 and better, or if you're with them, or with one who is. Sometimes that's a spouse, sometimes it's visiting family. We welcome them, the whole family, to be here, and we often do. So, besides the adult workers that are serving and cleaning up, the Cotes, the Webers, Sue and I, and there's been others of you through here, the average age of our server that stands over there and serves our seniors, because we will bring it to them if it's difficult for them to come to the table, but usually they'll go through line over where Gail and Donna are right there. Average age of our server is about 11. It's about 11. If you've been down here, we have 6 or 7 kids, depending on how many soups we have, ladling soup and serving our seniors. Then we ask them to go table to table with this dessert. So, friends, we've got this Titus 2 kind of issue going on as well, between this connection between our juniors and our seniors, and it's a very sweet thing. And we just want to ask you very specifically to pray for that. And Corey mentioned it this morning, beginning next week, or next month, I mean, in January, which is a 5-year anniversary, by the way. We've been doing it virtually every month. We took a couple months off for COVID, and then we started taking it to them, and then we moved it out on the bridge. And it's just been a really sweet time to do those things. We're going to move it to the second Sunday of the month, and that's because we're constantly bumping up against the big holidays. We will be this week. Our next Sunday, we'll have the breakfast in the morning and 40 seniors and their families here. So so be praying for that as well. And I want to encourage you very much, because there is the other aspect of what we might call our senior ministry, is the contact that the elders and the deacons have with our seniors on a fairly regular basis. And as we call them, we check on them and those types of things. And remember, a lot of seniors aren't here for any number of reasons. Some of them shut in. Some of our folks, it's just too painful in the morning to get here. It's difficult because of the time it takes for seniors, many of them, to get out of the car in hot weather, in rainy weather. They don't come on Sundays. They're not here tonight because many of our seniors don't come out at night. And as I get older, it's more difficult for me driving at night. I'm beginning to understand that more and more. So that means it's tantamount on us to be going to them. So I really encourage you to be making those phone calls, set up a time to visit. And these are stalwart saints that have served the Lord, many of them, their entire life. And now they're at a point where they can't serve in a traditional sense. So we need to be encouraging them by serving them. And encouraging them to serve. Our greatest prayer warriors are the ones we never see on Sundays. So anyway, if you ever have any questions, we're always in need of those to help prepare soup and other food. We try to keep it all homemade every month, if we can, as much as possible. Sometimes serving, Sue coordinates all of that. I help, and Liz coordinates meals. So anyway, if you can be that, please let us know. Thank you for the time, guys.
Thanks, Cliff. That reminded me of something that I was going to say later, but we'll say it now as well. A couple of weeks ago, we published a kind of a list of those who are homebound and who are either widows or widowers in this last year. And so I think connected to that, right, is there's a group of people who wish they could be here with us much more often, but they can't be, or we're just in this unique season. They're hurting because of loss. And so we have that list with addresses. Laura Schumann put it together, with addresses and contact information, all that we could send you if you'd contact the church office. We just didn't want to
print that out and, you know, let that information be all over the place on the ground on Sunday at church. So thanks for that, Cliff. Thank you, brother. Okay, a few other ministry updates here. It's okay if you have a crying baby. You might even have some crying adults on the inside right now. That's all right. Okay, a few kind of outreach and missions updates. We have secured dates with Joseph Howler and his ministry in Utah, with his father-in-law and himself. July 23rd through the 29th will be a Utah missions trip for our high school and young adult age folks. And so so you can mark those dates down, July 23rd through the 29th. Joseph will come out sometime in the spring to do kind of another training weekend with us. And we'll be working on kind of an application process so that you and the young people in our church can be praying for that ministry opportunity. And so that you know, it's not just anyone who kind of will want to sign up gets to go. It'll be a smaller group of people, and we'll want to kind of walk through that process with those who are interested. And so be praying for that. It's obviously going to be a pretty serious and weighty time, but an exciting time to be engaging with people in the LDS religion in real time, kind of on their turf, in their towns, sharing the gospel with them, but really coming alongside the Howlers and the churches in the Salt Lake City area who are slugging it out in LDS land. And so for the sake of the gospel. So that's an exciting opportunity coming up. So we'll be in prayer for that. You can talk to me if you're interested in that. Even in prayer requests for that, and we'll be communicating some more of those details in the coming weeks. Also, the Cotes are, hi Cotes, there they are. They are fully now engaged in what is called El Dorado County Jail Bible Study and Chaplaincy Ministry. So how many hours a week are you guys kind of investing in that ministry at the moment, Becky? 16 to 20. So that's prep. That's being on site in the jails. That's interactions with inmates and logistics and all of that, I'm sure. So it's a massive undertaking. But here's the cool thing. They don't want to do that alone. They need our help. And we need to not only pray for that, but to pray and figure out if we can be involved. So here's kind of the vision of the ministry. To have enough teachers to fill two classrooms on a Saturday night, with Freed Inside Ministry, so that's kind of the ministry name for those classrooms, those studies. And then here's kind of the next part of their vision for this is, as members of our church, how can our church help release inmates be held accountable and not recycle back through the jail system? So we have a role in that in some way, and so how in the future might we help facilitate and be a part of that important part of their life, especially as people are coming to know the Lord and getting saved. But also, part of the vision is to help keep enough large print Bibles, which, by the way, did you guys pick up those two boxes? They're here. They're on Laura's desk. So, okay, large print Bibles stocked in the classrooms for the chaplaincy ministry there. But here's some praises. Two female inmates in the last several weeks named Brittany and Simone asked how to become Christians and prayed to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. So that's a huge praise. One male inmate who is a believer and struggling with depression and forgiveness is doing much better. Johnson is in the process of training and will become a teacher in the new year. So that's awesome. That is so exciting. What an answer to prayer. And then there's three or four other members of our church who are kind of engaged currently in the application process for being able to come into the jails and help teach and serve in that way. So what an amazing opportunity. Mike and Becky, thank you for helping our church be engaged in that opportunity. But here's some plans and some needs. Open hearts to the gospel. And with male and female inmates as they're ministered to through these weekly Bible studies. Pray for open hearts for the jail staff. They need Christ. And then for COVID restrictions to be eased so that more people can volunteer, and then wisdom and clarity for both the instructors and the inmates as the Word of God is being shared with them. So lots of great praises and plans. And then for God to use local churches to assist the inmates as they're released back into the community, which is really, that's exactly what they need, right? Because God doesn't, if He saves them, He doesn't save them to just be lone wolf believers, but to be a part of the family of God. So there's a huge opportunity for churches there. Okay, there's so much that we can say about small groups and Bible studies that are happening, that are growing, counseling that's happening formally, informally. Jen Dwyer and Graham Grant are currently still enrolled in formal biblical counseling training through the Massachusetts University. Those are two massive opportunities, and both are engaging in counseling opportunities as they come about. And so we're praying for them, and just praying that, as Paul says, listen to this. Paul says in Romans 15, he says, "I myself am satisfied about you all, brothers and sisters," talking about the Roman, the believers there, "that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another." That word instruct is where we get our word for counsel, nouthetic counseling, biblical counseling. That's the same word. "That you're able to instruct one another." So Christians are able to instruct one another in the Word if we're immersed in the Word. But then God raises up some who are going to get more formally trained so that they can help equip us as a church to grow in that ministry of counseling as one counseling as well. So keep praying for them. And that's just a unique opportunity that the Lord has brought our way. All right, we are going to move now into kind of some leadership report time here. Just a couple quick updates before I ask Steve to come here. As deacons and elders, we continue to meet monthly. But one of the great praises and prayer requests that we've had for the last year, and God has been faithful to answer that, is as deacons and elders, we have really sought to form teams amongst one another to be handling the planning and the preparations and kind of the logistics of different ministries throughout the week and throughout the month, so that when we gather together, really what we can do is be in the Word and be in prayer. And so we've really had a laser focus on those two things for the last year, and God has really blessed that. We've spent more time in the Word together, more time praying for the needs of the body together than any time in the last 3 years that I've been here. So we're so thankful for that, and I continue to pray that we keep a laser focus on the needs of the body and on the Word and prayer. Okay. Steve is going to come share some things here, and then we'll do a little bit of some member care, and then we'll move on to our vote time. So, Steve, take it away, brother.
Try to keep this short. Last year, I told you about the number of people that actually had left our body over the course of the last several years. Many of them moving out of state, some going to be with the Lord, and the potential financial challenges associated with that. I'm pleased to be able to tell you that this year, our attendance numbers are actually just about what they were last year at this time. The average monthly giving, though, is actually about the highest it's been since about 2018 at this particular point in time. So that's just a huge praise that God is blessing the church through you. And we're so, so thankful for that. I also wanted to remind everyone that if you ever wonder where the money goes, there is a white binder in the kiosk in the foyer upstairs that has the monthly statement that tells all the money that comes in and all the money goes out and where it goes out. It gives a pretty good detailed list of it. I think you'll be surprised to learn how much of that actually goes to missions and what a highlight that is actually to the leaders here. And I wanted just to read off a couple of items that have occurred over the course of this past year, specific to missions giving. We have this regular giving that we do with the missionaries that we have decided to donate to on a regular basis. But you guys are aware we also have this project of a month. So I just wanted to mention a couple of things that were a huge encouragement. Those of you that listened to Seth in Sunday school just the other week, you guys are participating in that ministry. This last January, Seth's project of the month was just a little bit less than $6,000 for that one project of the month. It was a huge praise. Pastor Didier in Congo has also been a frequent project of the month, about $3,500 this last time in February. We've also added a couple of new missionaries that we're supporting, and that's a huge praise as well. The hills that were here was almost $2,700. There's something really kind of amazing that happened here in October. So October every year is our Christmas in October, right, where we attempt to bless all the missionaries. And your giving this year for Christmas in October is almost $10,000. And that is just a huge praise. Praise God for that. Just think about how those people in the field are blessed by that. There was another interesting milestone that we hit this year, and that has to do with the negative side of the finance things, in a sense, and that is our mortgage, if you will. But we actually dropped below a very significant figure. We got a long ways to go, but we actually dropped below the $1 million mark in terms of the entirety of the mortgage, so praise God. By the way, this is an area the elders have been talking about, so you may well hear about some focused areas about what we might be able to do to address that situation even further going forward, but you can be praying for the elders as we consider these things. Let me pray. God, you are a good God. You are a giving God, and we know that you are a loving God. And despite that you created all things, you control all things, and everything is yours to do with what you will, and yet you have blessed this body here in Shingle Springs with saints that give. And we just thank you for that. We know that you are the giver of all good things, but the way that you use the members here to support not only the local body, but all the people that we support overseas in terms of those missions, we just can't begin to thank you enough. And we just praise your name for that. And we pray all this now in your son's name. Amen.
Might be wondering again where to find that folder. It's in the kiosk up in the foyer. But you also might be wondering how those numbers all come together. And our brother Dave Palm has faithfully served in that area of ministry to help us as a church and as leaders be faithful with what God has entrusted to us as the saints give. And so we're grateful for you, Dave. Thank you, brother, for serving us in that way. And God has been so faithful and so good, especially as we look back on this last year. Well, we're going to move in a moment into a time of vote and affirmation and praying for the men who are leading in our church. I just wanted to remind you as members of our church, what that means is that we have committed to certain things. We've agreed to certain things toward one another to be faithful to, by God's grace. And currently, right now, there are 20 or so folks in the membership process, kind of in different places, along the spectrum there. But people who are either part of the classes or are working on a membership form or interview process with an elder or working on their testimony, even walking through, what does it mean to be a Christian and trying to help discern those things. But that's that point where we get an opportunity as elders to talk about those things in a clear way in a setting. And so I want to encourage us to be prayerful about how we might be hospitable, not only in our homes, but maybe at a lunchtime or a coffee break or whatever it is during the week, to be inviting people into your lives who seem new at our church so that they can begin connecting into our church relationally as they're getting to know our church. So that's what we can do as members, but also to remember that as members of our church, what are the things that we've agreed to? I just want to list a few of these things. This is what our covenant commitments say. Having been led by the Holy Spirit, which we believe God, through His Spirit, sovereignly has brought us to this church and this congregation, to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and having been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I do now in the presence of God most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with other believers of this congregation as one body. I will endeavor by the aid of the Holy Spirit, here's a few of them, to walk together in Christian love and maintain the unity of the believers in the church. To walk together in Christian love. To strive for the advancement of this congregation in knowledge, in holiness, and in love. So we want to make progress in our faith and in our love for Christ together as we grow in His Word. To sustain its worship, its ordinances, discipline, and doctrines. To be faithful, to be doctrinally deep believers. To contribute cheerfully and willingly to the support of its ministry as able. And that means our pocketbooks. That means that we are giving sacrificially and faithfully out of what the Lord has entrusted to us. Here's another significant one. To watch over other believers in brotherly love through prayer and giving aid in times of need. I think that's one of the most significant ones, that we are watching over each other, that we have a mutual accountability and care for each other. Galatians 6 says that if we see anyone caught in any transgression, that if we're spiritual, if we're Christians, we're to go to that brother or sister in the Lord and to help them, to help them in a spirit of gentleness. And so that's what we're called to do. That's what we've committed to. And so as we pray for those things, as we renew in our hearts and in our minds, those commitments to one another, let's ask that God would help us to do that faithfully. Just one membership update to note tonight. The Jackowitzes, who you all know and love well, have been a part of our church for many years now. They've been attending a Presbyterian church starting in the fall. And they have some family a part of that church as well. And they've been in kind of a time of transition, prayerful transition, as they've looked to be a part of that church there. And so we continue to be in touch with them, and they've been in touch with us as elders. And so we want to pray for them in that transition. Sam Jackowitz was up here with us a couple weeks ago. He'll be back again this summer, served in our VBS ministry, and loves our church, and the Jackowitzes do as well. But we want to pray for them as they've transition to another fellowship, that God would use them and grow them and bless them in that. All right, let's pray, and then I'll hand it over to my brother Phil. Father, thank you for what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Members of a body, bricks of a house, sheep of a flock, members of a family. Your word is full of helpful illustrations about how we relate to one another, that we can confess our sins to one another and be healed, that we can grow together in knowledge of you and rejoice as we delight in Christ together. God, I pray that you would continue to keep us humble as leaders, as members of a church, to admit that we have weaknesses, to help each other in our weaknesses, to be willing to confess our sins to one another, that we would grow in godliness and holiness. Help us, Lord, to not forsake those means of grace. Help us to be faithful, to love those who are here, who are coming up into our church, to be hospitable to them. Help us to love them well. And Lord, now as we change gears here to think about our deacons and our elders, we pray that you would help us and give us unity as we walk through this process even now. In Christ's name, amen.
All right, this is the last part of our evening here. This is an important thing, even as we gather here as a church to affirm our those who labor among us. Scripture calls us to recognize those who diligently labor among you in the Lord, who have charge over you in the Lord, and what we affirm and what we're looking at in that process is specifically from the words of Scripture. And so I want to read. You have some ballots there on your table and pens. Those of you that are members of this church I want you, even before I, before you fill those out, to just be reminded of what the Word of God says. The word overseer and elder, pastor, those are all used interchangeably in Scripture. So as we read about overseers, this is also about elders. And just as a reminder, we've said this before, but overseers help oversee and support and lead ministries. Deacons help facilitate ministry. But everyone who's a member of the body of Christ does the work of ministry. So you all do ministry. You're not voting for people to do the ministry instead of you. The elders oversee the ministry. The deacons help facilitate the ministry. And certainly our women's ministry directors and others help as well. But let me read 1 Timothy 3. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? So that's what elders are to do. They're to care, shepherd God's church. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall under the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So this is the word of the Lord. And just so you know, with some of the newer names that are listed there on the bottom of your sheet here, the process of letting them first be tested and then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Paul says later in this letter not to lay hands on anyone too hastily. And so part of what we do through this process is we spend time meeting with them as elders, going through the scriptures together, talking through the qualifications. But also, we're not looking to ask people to start serving really in ways they haven't been already. We're looking for those who are already serving the church and doing the work of deacons that we want to recognize their faithfulness. And so as you think of Jason and Houston and Sean and Josh, as they have already been involved in our body and small groups and evangelism and adventure club and connected with the young adults and some of the junior high ministries, those of you that have served with them. I would just make a note here on the ones that you're going to mark yes would be you're affirming and supporting this person as a servant leader for next year based on what I read in 1 Timothy 3. But if there's someone you don't know real well, you're unsure or you're unfamiliar with them, it's okay to leave it blank. If you have any questions about anything we've read, also this sheet on your table has some explanation of some of those things. But if you'd like to discuss anything with us as elders, just fill out the box at the bottom. And because we're a family, we ask all of you to put your name on that. And that also helps us to know who to follow up with if there's questions or concerns that you have. So you guys, anyone need a pen? I think you guys are all... Alrighty, let's just take a couple minutes here, and in a couple minutes we'll pray and have some time of dessert. And when you're done, there will be some gentlemen here. Just you can kind of fold them over and just raise them up, and we've got some gentlemen who can take your ballots.
Hey, why don't we stand together, and we're going to sing the doxology. Praise God from whom? And then we're going to, then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have some dessert. If you have ever been to my home for any type of meal, you know that I put people in order in a certain way. So I'm going to ask you guys to do that tonight. And what that means is we always start with the oldest people first to go get in line. Let's sing first.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for our time of worship. Worshiping you through hearing the ministries that you have put into place for us. We thank you so much for that. Thank you for our time of worshiping you just now through that song and through the songs we sang earlier. Thank you for that. Thank you for hearing the different testimonies that we heard between Craig and Tatiana. Thank you for the work that you're doing in their lives. Father, thanks just for each person here that contributed to the snacks that you have allowed us to partake in. Thank you for that. Help us now as we continue our fellowship. These things I pray in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you are like 80 and older, you may get in line.
I identify as 80 year old.
You may feel 80, but if you're not 80, if you're 70 and older, you may get in line. 70? 70 and older, you may get in line. If you are 60 and older, yes, I would qualify. If you are 50 and older, you may get in line. 50 and older. Listen to these pleas for getting. If you are 40 and older, you may get in line. 40 and older.
Kevin, that's you, right?
And the rest of you may get in line.